grave, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then in 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Now, certainly those four passages of Scripture could be used to talk about resolutions. One said, reaching forth to the things that are ahead. We're going to be thinking about that as we come to the end of this year and begin the next year. And as far as I'm concerned, the end of a century and a millennium, the beginning of another millennium, we're going to be thinking about the things that are ahead. As Hebrews put it, we'll be thinking about the race that is to be run with patience. As Titus put it, we're going to be thinking about living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And as Paul put it, really to Titus and the other one, and now to Timothy, before he said follow and fight and lay hold, he said flee. In fact, if you'll notice in all of those passages, before there is a resolution, there's got to be an absolution. I'm not using the word tonight in a ceremonial way, as it might be used in some religious circles, but using it by definition. The word absolve means to set free from an obligation or the consequences of sin. And another definition given in Webster's is to remit. The point that is made in these scriptures, I think, is summarized in a story that I heard about General Robert E. Lee. Sometime after the Civil War was over, he was visiting with a friend of his up in Virginia where he had gone to live. And this lady said, you see that tree right out there? And he looked, and there was a tree there that it appeared to be one that most of the branches had been shot off. And she said, the federal troops shot all those branches off, and I'm leaving it just like it is to remind me of what they did. She waited, and General Lee did not say anything for a moment. And then in a very kind voice, he turned to her and said, ma'am, cut it down and forget it. Here's a man who had been the leader of the forces that had lost. It would have been easy for him to hold resentment. It would have been easy for him to take a negative attitude toward those who had been on the other side. It would have been easy for him to want something to be set up to remember what had happened. But that was not his attitude. He said, cut it down, ma'am, and forget it. And just as we pass by on a tangent, let me suggest that as far as our nation is concerned, we may need to remember that story in a few days. Cut it down and forget it. Is it possible for us to make the kind of resolutions we need to make unless we have the absolutions that are needed? Let me share with you what I believe is involved in this by looking at four areas of thought. It's been suggested where we need to put the past behind us. He said, lay aside the weight, lay aside the sin in order to run the race, Hebrews 12. He said, deny ungodliness and worldly lust in order to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, Titus 2. He said, forgetting the things that are behind in Philippians 3. And he said, flee in order to be able to follow. So maybe we need to do some absolving before we need to do some resolving. Somehow or other, We need to forget the past slights and hurts and wrongs that have come in our direction. Probably there's not a one of us here tonight but who feels that at some time or another, maybe in this year of 2000, that somebody's mistreated me. I've been slighted when I should not have been. Things have been said and done that hurt my feelings, and I've been wronged in some ways. I would guess that most of us might be able to think of some things like that. Some of these may be very serious and may come under another thought that will be presented later if sin is involved. But folks, many times those little things that cause the biggest problems in our lives, that cause us to hold grudges and cause us to remember things about others that would be better forgotten, are the little trifling matters that really should not be remembered. Now, if it is something that's serious enough that another soul might be in jeopardy or my soul might be in jeopardy because of my attitude, maybe we need to think about it more. But be honest with yourself. Are not most of the things that cause us heartburn, in that sense of the word, things that are trifling matters? Back in Proverbs 10 and verse 12, he said, "Love covereth all sins." We can magnify that and find that even in the love of Christ, all our sins are covered. But I think in the immediate context that he's suggesting, if we love one another, we're going to cover up some things and forget things. Not sin that will condemn us, but little things that don't matter, little trifling matters, maybe that hurt at the time, but shouldn't hurt anymore. These can become serious, especially when we blow them out of proportion and let them grow in our minds instead of getting rid of them. Jesus addressed these difficulties between people and among people in two different ways. In Matthew 5, he said, if you come to offer your gift and you realize you've wronged somebody, you leave your gift and you go to make it right. But in Matthew 18, 15 through 20, he said, if somebody has wronged you, you need to be in the business of going to straighten it out and make it right, getting rid of these things that can cause hard feelings and cause feelings to be held continually that should not be held. I think most of you have heard this, but one of my favorite stories is where the two men were talking and one said to the other one, I just don't like to get in an argument with my wife because she's too historical. And he said, you mean hysterical? He said, no, I mean historical. She remembers every little thing that I've done wrong ever since we've been married. And you know, I guess if we were honest with ourselves, that most of us are too historical. And maybe we need to do some forgetting. We talk about the need of having a good memory. Maybe sometimes we need a good forgettery. I guess that's one of the blessings of getting older. Maybe we don't remember things as much as we did. But even then, it seems we tend to remember the things we shouldn't and forget the things that we should. Well, folks, we need to absolve ourselves of these little trifling matters that have happened amongst us and try to put the best light on it and put it behind us. We need to absolve ourselves of losses and defeats and failures. Is there one of us who's never had a failure? Even as you think about test, and God forbid that I should mention that word tonight, but is there a one of us, even the four-point student, who's never missed a question? Who's never failed? Is it Abraham Lincoln that they talk about that failed in so many of his races before he was ever elected? Others we've heard about? Most of us have had losses. Most of us have had defeats. I would almost guarantee that not everything that you would like to have happened this past year has happened just as the way you wanted it. Sometimes it's a ball team that loses. Or maybe there's something that happens at work that doesn't go like we want it to, or in some of our clubs or classes at school. All of us have had those losses and those defeats and those failures. Has there ever been a person who lived that failed spiritually any more than the Apostle Paul in his early life? He failed tremendously in his early life before he learned the truth. But he was the one that said at least three of those passages that we read, and the fourth if he wrote Hebrews. He's the one who would talk about what had happened in his past and how he didn't deserve to be where he was today, but it was only by the grace of God. But I think he's a classic example of someone who knew how to put his failures behind him and not dwell on them, and began to do the things that are important and the things that are necessary. Even from a spiritual standpoint, in Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, he says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world, utter failure. But the next verse he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Perhaps all of us need to take a long look at the past and then be sure we've made it right and put it behind us. And the fact that we've had losses and defeats and failures in the past doesn't mean that we'll always have to be like that. That if we'll turn in the right direction and hold on to the right source, that we can make our lives successful in the future. In the third place, perhaps we need to try to absolve ourselves of sorrows and griefs and heartaches. And that's not easy, especially for some who've lost loved ones. There's been such grief and such heartache and such sorrow in the lives of so many in recent days in our midst and in the hearts of all of us to some degree. And yet I try to look back at David's example in 2 Samuel 12 when his little baby died, which must have been one of the greatest times of grief for King David. So great before the baby died that he fasted, would not even take a bath, prayed to God. But after the death took place and he realized there was nothing more that he could control or even ask God to change relative to that, he got up and ate and took a bath, and he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to be with him. I'm not standing here tonight and telling you that that's always easy, and especially some of you who've had such deep heartaches in recent days. But I believe I can say tonight, based upon the Word of God, that we are encouraged, though in some instances it'll take a little more time than others, we're encouraged to try to absolve ourselves and put those things into precious memories. Pay the honor that is rightfully due. And then try to go on to take care of those resolutions that we have relative to others and to the Word of God. Time has a way of helping with grief. Other things can contribute to the help. But really, we need to try to learn to put behind us as much as it is humanly possible those losses and defeats and sorrows and griefs and heartaches that we have had. If we continue to fill our hearts with that kind of heartache and just hold on, it can affect our inability to fill our hearts with the kind of love that we need to have to make the right kind of resolution. Putting behind us slights and hurts and wrongs and losses and defeats, failures, sorrows, hurts, griefs. And then maybe more than anything else, we need to absolve ourselves of the mistakes that we have made and the transgressions that are there and the sins that we have committed. There's not a one of us here tonight whose shoulders are broad enough to carry the continued burden of sin. And if we do not absolve ourselves of sin, and particularly the guilt of it and the shame that may be associated with it, it's going to be extremely difficult for us to make the right kind of New Year's resolutions and look forward to the things that are ahead. David realized that when he, in that Psalm 51, again and again expressed the idea of, God, cleanse me from my sins. Help me to lift this burden from me. David had committed some very gross sins. In fact, it took him a long time to realize how serious it was and what he had done. But But then his heart was mellowed so much, and I believe that's really the reason that he's called a man after God's own heart. His heart was mellowed so much because he was interested in trying to make things as right as he could and to go forward. He wanted his heart, he wanted his life made right. We referred to Paul earlier. He was the one who said, Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He realized that he had sins in his life and he needed to take care of those. Romans 6:17 says that we are to obey from the heart the form of doctrine which is delivered us. And just before that, he said, you're going to be a servant either to sin or to Christ, depending on which direction you go. And in the verse after, he said, but then being made free from sin. Wasn't that the definition of our word absolve, to set free from an obligation or the consequences of sin? Being then made free from sin, we became the servants of righteousness. Had to get rid of something before he could do what he needed to do. And folks, it may very well be the case that the reason we fail with so many of our resolutions is because we try to take too much baggage with us. We try to just keep on holding on to those things that need to be set aside. Those things that need to be forgiven. And when God forgives, he forgets. We need to learn to accept God's forgiveness. Yes, it is important for us to realize when we've made mistakes. I believe it's important for us to have the ability to feel guilty and to have a feeling of shame when we've done wrong. But it's just as important to be able to reach out to God who has the answer and to accept his answer. Sometimes we're harder on ourselves and harder on one another than God is. God's willing to forgive and forget. Hebrews 8:12 and Hebrews 10:17. You and I somehow or other have got to learn to be able to forgive and to forget. In fact, right after he taught his apostles to pray, he commented on one point in that prayer, and he said, for if you don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive you. And that's not the only time in the New Testament that statement is made. We need to absolve ourselves of our sins and mistakes and shortcomings and the guilt and the burden that tends to go with them. Now, earlier we looked at a passage in Proverbs 10:12, that said we are to let love cover all sins. There's one later in the book of Proverbs, I believe about chapter 28, that says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall obtain mercy. First part of that verse says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And I think that sort of says the same thing I said a moment ago, that we're trying to take too much baggage with us. We're trying to cover up our sins and keep carrying them with us, and that's just too much baggage. He says he's not going to prosper. He's not going to be able to carry out his New Year's resolutions. Why? Because he needs to confess and he needs to forsake. And when he confesses and forsakes, he will obtain mercy. And that mercy of God involves complete forgiveness of our past. And so tonight I suggest to you that there is a real sense in which, before we're going to be able to make resolutions and carry them out, that we need some absolutions relative to the past. Those little things that are just slights and hurts and little wrongs, let's forget them. Unless there's a need to talk about them and then work it out and forget them. Those losses and failures and defeats, let's try to put them in the past and hold our heads up and believe I can do better. And another verse in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And even our griefs and sorrows and heartaches, and we're all going to have them. Let's let God help us to put those in proper perspective and go on with heaven as our goal. And in those areas where we have sinned, let's get rid of that sin. And we don't do that by overlooking it. We do that by turning to the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'll guarantee you tonight, based upon the teaching that I understand to be in this book, that whatever has been amiss in your life and whatever keeps you from being able to run with patience the race that is set before you can be taken care of in the blood of Jesus Christ. As a sincere, penitent believer, you can be baptized into Him and every past sin will be forgiven. And as a sincere, penitent Christian returning through confession and repentance and prayer, you can receive forgiveness for your sins. In order for us to be able to go into the new year if it comes, or even into the new day if it comes tomorrow, with resolutions, we need some absolutions to be set free from our sins, to be remitted. Let's take care of that in our own way when it's between us and amongst us, and let's take care of it in God's way when it's dealing with sins against Him. If you need to be absolved of sin tonight, the answer is Christ. Come to Him as together we stand and sing.
Come to Jesus, do not tarry, enter in at mercy.